As you know, last month I started preaching on a series from the book of James, and I don't know if any of you had a chance to start reading James, but did anyone start after last month going through the book of James? Okay, I see a couple of hands. That's great. So again, it's a short book, only five chapters, and I hope that you will join me in studying this book together, and even as we study, that the Holy Spirit will grant us illumination so that we can really apply its truths in our everyday lives. And, you know, just as a disclaimer, I'll try not to go literally verse by verse or word by word, because a few years back, I was leading a Bible study in our small group, and we're going through the book of Genesis. And do you guys know how many chapters are in the book of Genesis? There are 50. Yeah, there are a lot. And actually, some of you were part of that small group. And I think it took us, I don't know, 3 or 4 years to go through the whole book. So I promise it will not take 3 or 4 years to go through the book of James, that it won't be that long as we go through these five chapters. But let's all stand and read James 1:1-8 together. It's on the screen. Let's read God's word together. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greetings. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. Thank you. Please be seated. And if you were here about a month ago, I talked about trials and how we could have pure joy when going through trials. And here's a quick review of what we went over in the first four verses of the first chapter of James. You know, James points out that as believers, we will face trials in verse 2. He doesn't say if we face trials, but rather when we face trials. You know, trials are a given and a guarantee. Trials will come in our Christian lives, and we should actually expect trials. Through trials, our faith is actually tested, and that testing produces perseverance in verses 3 and 4. Now, knowing that trials will come and they will happen, how should we then live when trials come our way? And what really should be our attitude or our perspective? In verse 2, James encourages the believers to consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds. And you know, I kind of pose the question, well, how do we really consider it joy when we go through trials? Because, you know, trials, most of the time, they're not fun to go through. You know, but we also talked about how joy does not equate necessarily, or it doesn't equate to happiness, but rather joy is the second fruit of the Spirit, as mentioned in Galatians 5. And we also took a look at Psalm 16, verse 11, where David wrote, "You will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand there are pleasures forever." And in your presence, there is fullness of joy. And we spent some time talking about being in God's presence and how God promises that when we are in his presence, there is this fullness of joy. And some of the questions that I posed to us was, you know, are we cultivating his presence? How do we be in God's presence? Are we spending time with him, reading his word? Are we meditating on his promises? Are we worshiping him on a daily basis? Because the praise that we give to God really cultivates and brings in the presence of God. If we are in his presence daily, we talked about, you know, having that as our basis of our Christian life, that then we will be able to experience his joy, because, you know, that psalm says, in your presence, there is fullness of joy. And then when trials come, God will be present and his joy will be there, and we'll be able to, as James says, consider it pure joy whenever we face trials of many kinds. The last time we left off with verse 4, and that's when James said, "Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." Now, we also talked about how trials actually help us mature in our Christian walk. You know, we're not meant to stay as spiritual babies. We're actually meant to grow as we live out our Christian life. We're meant to transition from milk bottles to actually, you know, beginning to eat solid food and eventually a steak, right? You know, just like a little baby, you know, we're supposed to grow. We're supposed to be mature and transition to solid food. You know, we're not supposed to be stagnant in our Christian walk, but we're supposed to really grow. And part of that growing involves trials. Actually, trials produce a deeper trust in God, and they contribute to our maturing process and as believers. And our faith and our character is actually developed through trials and testings. Now, while we may never be perfect this side of heaven, we're supposed to strive to be mature and complete, not lacking anything, as what James mentions in verse 4. But then, after verse 4, as we read earlier, James transitions to the topic from trials to actually wisdom when we look at verses 5 through 8. And again, we read this, but if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is a double-minded and unstable in all they do. Now, there's a strong connection or tie between going through trials, perseverance, being mature and complete, and actually wisdom. In fact, James assumes that some of his readers are lacking in wisdom and invites them to ask God for wisdom. Now, it's pretty apparent that when we are in the midst of adversity or when we're going through a trial, we need wisdom. And James immediately points all of us to God. He points all of us to say, hey, if you are lacking in wisdom, ask God. You know, we need wisdom to rightly assess the situation we're going through, whatever trial it might be. And really, what should our response be? And perhaps even the next steps. We need wisdom to know how to make those right decisions, some things that would glorify God's name. Now, even though we may not be going through a big trial or maybe an adverse situation, we still need wisdom as we go about our everyday decisions. Now, I just want to ask, and maybe you can raise your hand if you're comfortable, but how many of us need wisdom today? Yeah, I think that's probably the majority of us, right? That's great. Now, as we read these verses in James, there are really three simple points from these four verses that I really want to cover today. And the first is, if we lack wisdom, we can ask God. The second point is, God gives wisdom generously to all. And the third point is, when we ask, we must believe and not doubt. Now, verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it would be given to you. If we lack wisdom, we can ask God. You know, James, in verse 5, invites all of us to come before God. In fact, God himself invites us to come to him for wisdom. Now, when you think of the word lack, how many of you actually want to be the first to admit that you lack something? Okay, good. Because when I thought of the word lack, I'm like, you know what, as a human being, I really don't want to lack anything. You know, I don't want to lack food. I don't want to lack clothing. I don't want to lack shelter. It just seems like a negative thing, right? Like, you're always lacking. You know, you don't have enough. But when it comes to wisdom, there are a lot of times when we actually lack wisdom. And I don't know how you feel about admitting to your lack, but it's actually okay to be lacking. It's actually okay to be lacking in wisdom. In fact, you know, don't think that God is too big for your problems or that he can't be bothered or that, you know, I don't really, you know, God is such a big God. He has all these things in the world that he has to deal with. Don't think that he doesn't care about your situation. Please don't ever think that God does not want to be bothered by whatever you're going through. That's a lie. Actually, God cares for whatever big thing or whatever small thing that you are going through. In fact, he invites us to say, if we lack wisdom, that we can come to him and that we can ask him to give us wisdom. When was the last time that you asked God for wisdom? You know, when you're faced with a trial or a decision of any kind, no matter how big or how small, what was the first thing that you typically do when you have to make a decision or when you're confused? Do you maybe, I don't know, talk to a friend, or do you ask for his or her advice, or maybe you talk to your spouse, maybe you talk to your parents? You know, do we rely on maybe a self-help book or maybe other people? Or perhaps we rely on our past experiences. You know, it's like, okay, I got this. I went through the same thing 5 years ago, and this is what I did, so I'm going to do it again because it worked last time. You know, some of us are pretty highly educated. Some of us, you know, might have an MD or a PhD behind our name, or, you know, a lot of us went to college. You know, we were maybe trained at, you know, one of the prestigious schools around here or elsewhere. And some of us may even have are really good at problem solving. I know, you know, some of us are maybe engineers, and maybe we, as guys, we really know how to solve problems. Or maybe, you know, in our jobs, we may have like taken a course on like decision making and how to apply these decision making principles. But you know, sometimes when we go through trials and when we go through difficult situations, all of the training that we went through, those things mainly don't apply sometimes. You know, where does God come into play? You know, we need to actually come to a point where we recognize that all of our training, all of our education, all of our past experiences may not be enough. And that's actually okay. You know, because I think God wants us to come to a point of humility where we actually say, God, I don't get it. I don't have what it takes to get through this trial, to get through this situation, to get through this challenge that I'm going through. And God, I can't do it on my own. You know, God is inviting us to come to a place of, to really come to an end to ourselves and to say, you know what? God, I totally surrender to you. I cannot do this on my own. I can't solve this situation because it's way above my head. I've never been in this situation before, or even if I've been through the situation, it's different. And I don't want to do the same thing that I did last time, because God, I need to come to you for your wisdom. You know, we need to come to a place where we confess our utter dependency on him and ask for his wisdom to guide us. You know, sometimes we're so independent. We think we can do it on our own because it's worked in the past. You know, we think we know the solutions. We think we know the answers. But there are times when we just have to really come to the end of ourselves and to say, you know what, God, I'm not going to try anymore. I'm just going to ask you to take over. I'm just going to ask you. I'm going to surrender myself to you and say, God, have your own way. God, I need your wisdom in this situation. You know, it's really, there's a beauty when we come to the end of ourselves and when we totally rely on him for guidance. In fact, God is actually pleased and he delights in the fact that we express our dependence on him, not on ourselves or our past experiences. And it's at that point when God actually shows up. It's really at that point of utter dependence, when all else has failed, when we can't do it anymore, that God actually takes over and his wisdom comes. You know, it's a place of total surrender and coming bare before God Almighty and asking him for his wisdom and for his insight. And it's really a privilege that God invites us to come to him. It's really a privilege and a blessing for God to say, you know what? If any of you lacks wisdom, just come to me and ask. And it's our inheritance as his sons and his daughters to be able to do that. In fact, when God invites us to do that, it's our right to say, God, you promise in your word, in James, it says, if any of us lacks wisdom, we can ask God. And God, you promise in your word that you will give us wisdom. Now let's read, I'm going to read that verse again. James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. That's a promise of God that each of us should claim each day. The second thing that I want to share with you is, as we read, God gives wisdom generously to all. It says, God gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. James said that God is generous, and he gives it generously. If we ask for wisdom, we're going to get it generously. God's not, he's not like stingy. He doesn't just like give a little bit of wisdom, but he gives a lot. He's a generous God. And it also says that he's not going to find fault with us either. He's not going to shame us or humiliate us or say, hey, what? I gave you wisdom 2 years ago. You need it again? That's not like our God, you know, or even like say, what? Aaron, you just asked for wisdom a week ago and you need it again? That's not what it says. It says that he gives generously to all without finding fault. So we can boldly approach God and not have to worry of being dense or not have to worry about having forgotten the wisdom that he gave us previously or even yesterday. We can say, God, you say that you give generously. And so I'm going to come to you and I'm going to say, okay, God, I need your wisdom again, even though I just asked for it like this morning. I need it again today, like right now. And that's the awesome thing that he is so generous with what he doles out. You know, he's not stingy. He gives abundantly. You know, this is our God that we serve. This is our Heavenly Father. This is Almighty God, the maker of heaven and earth. This is the God of infinite love, the omnipotent, all-knowing one. This is the one who created you and I. This is the one who made our human bodies. And I know that there are some medical professionals in the room here, and some of you may have studied biology or physiology or whatever. You know, the body is so intricately and wonderfully made. You know, the fact that we're here today breathing, our hearts pumping, we're able to like walk and sit. I mean, just think about how intricately and wonderfully created we are. That's the infinite wisdom of God. And this is the same God who, when we ask for wisdom, he will give us that wisdom. Not only just, you know, not, I'm not saying wisdom to create like human beings, but this is how big and vast our God is. The God who created you and I, the God who made your body, who allowed your heart and my heart to beat and tick. This is the same God who today says, if you ask, I will give you wisdom. And I will give it to you generously. You know, Jesus also said in Matthew chapter 11, verses 7 through 11, he says, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? If we ask, we will receive. And our Heavenly Father will give to us what we ask for. So let's ask God for wisdom, because God says, if any of you lacks wisdom, ask. And let's expect him to give us a generous amount of that wisdom. Now, the third point that I want to bring up in verse six is that when we ask, we must believe and not doubt. Now, verse 6 says, when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. When we ask, we must believe and not doubt. You know, there's one requirement that if we want to receive wisdom, and that's our belief. There's a belief or a faith component. You know, without doubting God's ability or desire to give us his wisdom. You know, we need to ask God for wisdom without a wavering in our faith that he will actually do it. You know, James actually warns against being double-minded or someone who kind of plays it safe or by praying, but is not totally committed to God. Someone who's blown and tossed by the wind, someone who's kind of, you know, carried here and there, you know, on a good day, yes, I'll praise God, but on a bad day, I don't really think God's alive or he's not really active. You know, someone without the proper anchor and foundation, who's Jesus Christ. You know, in fact, according to James, that person shouldn't expect to receive anything from the Lord because they're unstable in all that they do. You know, it may seem kind of simple, you know, that when we ask, we must believe and not doubt. But, you know, it's really not, you may think, okay, it's too simple to be true. You know, you ask and then you get. But that's actually what God's word says. God's word says, when we ask, we will receive. And it says that when we ask, we should believe, right? We've experienced God. I'm sure a lot of us have experienced God in this room. Sorry about my son. Hi, Enoch. You know, but that's kind of like, that's how we should be when we approach our Heavenly Father. We should be asking, hey, Baba, give me my attention, right? This is what God wants us to do as his children. He wants us to get his attention. And that's exactly it, that when we ask, we say, God, Daddy, Abba, I'm right here. Give me your attention and ask for that wisdom. But when we ask, we also have to believe, right? We believe, we come in faith, knowing that when we ask, he will give it to us. I want to also share with you one other verse before we end and wrap up. And that's from Proverbs 9, verse 10. And it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. You know, we've talked about wisdom and how when we lack, if we lack wisdom, we ask God. But really in Proverbs, it also reminds us where really wisdom starts. And that's really with the fear of the Lord, where the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now, this isn't a fear that we cringe or that we, you know, are so afraid to approach God's throne because he's gonna strike us dead. This is really a fear that's based off out of reverence, out of awe, you know, out of wonder, to really say, God, you are God Almighty. You're the one who created the heavens and the earth. You're the one who created me. And this fear is really produced by what we read in God's word. And it makes a person receptive to his wisdom. You know, it really goes back to our relationship with God himself. Are we in awe of our Heavenly Father? Are we in awe of the things that he's done? Are we so reverent before God and fearful in a good way of God that we say, Lord, have your own way? That we say, Lord, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You know, it starts with our relationship with him. It starts with our relationship as a son, as a daughter. And as you approach him, as we approach his throne of grace so freely and so willingly, are we coming to him with a spirit of surrender to say, God, I need your wisdom. You know, all the things that I've learned in the past, I need your wisdom. I can't rely on my past anymore. I can't rely on the training that I've received. I need your wisdom for what I'm facing today. So even as we close, I just want to invite the worship team to come up and to just sing one more song. But even as we close, I want to just invite you to stand and to really want to ask you, you know, are you needing wisdom today? And as we come before him, as we've just read in James, I want to just ask you to come before the Lord, to come before him. And if you need wisdom from the Lord, why don't you approach him and ask him for that wisdom? Because God promises to give us that wisdom. But as we come before him, we ask in faith and we ask him to give us the wisdom for whatever decision that we need to make or whatever situation that we're in.